Okay. All right, folks.
We're back.
Yeah. Inside Florida Racing. That was quick, Jack.
We got a great show, Rob. A lot of interesting people we're going to get to this evening. And
Rob, somebody you missed. Somebody, CeCe, he missed last week. Oh, maybe. I don't think he was here when. No, he wasn't here. He missed it. The racers took over at Putnam. Some people, because Putnam has just had had management ownership issues for year after year for a number of years.
For 10 years.
Well, yeah, so the racers got together. We talked to Bill Fisher, who is one of the main players in the new game. And we talked to him last week on the show. And we asked him if he'd come back this week because they had a meeting over the weekend to kind of finalize everything.
That's right. They were going to decide,
So we have Bill Fisher from Putnam County Speedway back on the line with us to give us an update.
Bill Fisher, Rob Elting, and CeCe Brooks, how are you?
Hi, Bill. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. How are you all this evening?
Beautiful.
We're
beautiful.
Doing well. So what happened over the weekend?
Yeah, they just filled me in on this. I wasn't here last week, and I'm familiar with the situations that have been going out there for many years, and I think this might be a thing to come. Maybe drivers might start taking over tracks everywhere.
Well, I don't know about that, but I will tell you, Putnam County Speedway is back. I mean, we are coming back like gangbusters. I was very, very pleased and surprised yesterday. Actually, yesterday, history was made in North Florida stock car racing. Over 100 guys affiliated with stock car teams were present at our meeting, and I chaired the meeting, sort of, between me and a fellow named Mike Butka. Now, Mike and his future father-in-law, Clarence, are major players in this program down there. But anyway, to make a long story short, I called the meeting to order. I gave a short recap of what took place 2 weeks before, and I said, now I would like everybody associated with a late model to go over here, everybody associated with a hobby stock go over here, mini stock, etc., 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 on down the line. We had seven different classes of cars represented, and they did. They separated each other. There was no arguments or anything. And I told them, I says, now, when you get over there, I want you to elect somebody to represent your group, your class of cars. Well, it took probably an hour and a half, but finally they did it. And I went back and got the names of everybody who to represent them. And then I got these seven people together in a room by themselves and had them elect a chairman, so to speak, somebody to lead them. And it worked tremendous. It worked exactly like I had envisioned and like I saw it work before. I'm very well pleased. These guys, they really deserve an applause for the way they acted yesterday. There was no arguing. There was no discussions. And I was surprised at the people that they did elect, but I'm pleased with it at the same time.
So how is this going to work out? Now you know how this, you know, you've got your chairman, you've got your representatives of each class. How is it, when is your first scheduled race?
May 10th.
May 10th, and you're going to have these, how many classes now?
We will have, and I don't have the schedule right here in front of me, but the headliners on May 10th will be late models, and they are going to alternate weekly with the open wheel modified cars. The following Saturday night, the open wheel cars will be the headliners, and that's the way it's going to go. And the way it'll work is these seven people, if there is an issue in, say, my group, somebody doesn't like the tire rule or a motor rule or whatever, okay, instead of going right to the manager of the track or the owner of the track, they've got to follow parliamentary procedure. And it's got to go before this board before they'll even consider a change. And this goes for the way the races are put on and officiated also. And it's to follow a chain of command, more or less. And in the top of this chain of command will be Mike Dutka and Clarence. And I expect them to be more or less like a benevolent dictator. they will have the final say on if something has changed. And as far as maybe a discipline problem, which very rarely happens in a dirt track, this group will have to mete out whatever punishment they deem necessary, be it a fine, suspension, or whatever. And that's it in a nutshell. It's kind of like our wonderful federal government works, with the dictator having a veto to be able to sign off on it, say yes or no. I might sound a little sarcastic about that, but I'm kind of upset with our Fed right now.
With what?
Our federal government.
Oh, I got you. Well, yeah, there's only about 300 million people who agree with you on that, so
Not
a problem there. How is this set up different in terms of like how the track will operate? How is this different than the way it was, say, under some of the previous ways the track was run? How is it different?
Well, previously, and I'm familiar with the last 3 years. Previously, and I'll start with the last year first. The person that did it didn't have a clue on what to do. Now we have people that have been involved in racing for close to 50 years, some of them 10 years or less. But they know what's supposed to be done. They know that the racers have to be treated fairly, and the rules have to be enforced. And that was the consensus of everybody yesterday. That was one of the things that everybody said. We want to be treated fairly. We do not want to be lied to. If you post a purse, by all means, pay it. Don't cut our purse. Because, face it, racers don't make any money. I mean, some of them are lucky if they got gas money to go home. Why cut it in half? I mean, and when you do that, the cars will come and the fans will follow the cars. That's my theory, and it works. What else can I tell you?
So who actually owns this dictatorship, if you will?
Who actually owns the physical track?
Well,
what
I'm saying. Who owns the racetrack?
The track is owned by a gentleman named Phil Genovar from St. Augustine, Florida. He owns the real estate.
How'd you get him to agree with this deal?
Beg your pardon?
How'd you guys get him to agree with this? Because it sounds like... I think that it has a lot of pros and cons. I'm sure you've had them coming at you, but go ahead.
Okay, it's very simple how we got him to agree with it. He's making a mortgage payment on this 39 acres of land every month, and it's getting stale sitting there. So I approached Mr. Genovar, and I told him what my idea was, and he says, well, see if you can put it together, and we'll talk. Okay, then up comes Mike Butka and Clarence, and they want to be involved, but they want to be a major investor, and they are. They have relocated from the Sebring area to Palatka at this time. They are presently at the racetrack, living there, and I think they were going today to get the electric and everything turned on and apply for their licenses and do everything they got to do. But they have stated that they want the drivers and the car owners to actually come up with the way to make it successful. And if there's something there that would be derogatory to what they want, why then, of course, they'll put the kibosh on it. But I don't expect that to happen.
Well, here's my next question for you, and sure, this is Bill. It's sort of a big thing here. What is your marketing plan? How are you going to promote this track and get fans back there in the stands so the track is financially successful and can continue to stay open?
It's going to be a slow, long process. It's not going to happen overnight. Everybody is aware of that. Now, we're having a media day this coming Saturday down there, and there's going to be hot dogs, hamburgers, and all the stuff that goes with it. And well, there'll be some race cars there. I don't know if we'll be able to put any on track. At this time, we are touching base with all the local newspapers. We have a gentleman who is very well versed in marketing. He's in the sales business, and he has been beating the bushes. And believe it or not, he already has sponsors for one or two classes. He has sold I don't know how many advertising signs on the building. where we made a deal with the Penny Saver. We're going to have an ad in it, which will be in three counties. And I understand it's going to be a clip type of ad with a discount general admission, which brings up another point. I'm not afraid to give away free passes to the racetrack.
Well, that's great, because my next thing I wanted to suggest with you, since I work in radio.
All right, and I'll tell you why. I'll give away free passes, and so will Mike and Clarence, because you've got seating for 4,500 people in a grandstand. If you've got an empty seat, that empty seat does not go to the concession stand. And the concession stand, frankly, is where the profit is made on a racetrack.
Oh, that's, and I'm in agreement with you there.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to suggest to you is this. Contact all the radio stations in the area that you want to draw fans from. Okay, as a DJ, and I'm telling you this, I love stuff to give away to my listeners. And there's nothing better than you have them come out, if they've never been to track, if they're not in racing, to check it out, but then give them the tickets, the passes, to go ahead and give away to their listeners, because then you have them talking on the air about your track and what's happening out there, and
well,
they can do, and that'll get more people out there.
I agree 100%. Now, here's an example of how Putnam County Speedway has not been promoted. I'm sort of politically active here where I live in St. John's County, and I know almost all the county commissioners. And I mentioned to them at a picnic, a community picnic one day, and we had race cars there. We had probably seven or eight of our best cars last year come up to this function. And the county commissioners were there. And they were surprised. They said, well, where do you race these? And I told them, and their reaction was, well, I thought that track was long gone. They thought it didn't exist anymore. Well, now, we are working, we are approaching and trying to get radio stations, we're trying to get some airtime. I'd like to have a remote broadcast.
Well, you know what, and live broadcasts are great, but I'll tell you what, they cost a lot of money. You're better off initially just inviting the different DJs out and giving them a lot of free tickets to give away on the air. But unfortunately, you know, we have to move on right now, Bill. We got to go. I wish you the best of luck, and we're going to keep checking back with you and on the progress of the track in your new
somebody from
there.
That racetrack, you need to put in charge of keeping in contact with us and posting on our message board things that are going on.
Well, we talked to Bill. We'll talk to you again before next Monday night, and you know, as long as you guys keep making progress, keep wanting to get the information out, we'll keep helping you do that, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I want to see you get that place open.
So do I.
All right.
May
10th.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, folks, May 10th will be the opening there at Putnam County Speedway, and the racers are in charge, but there is a dictator, so be careful. And his name's Dick Butkus. Is that what his name? No. What was his name?
Mike Butka.
Yeah, but I actually thought the same thing,
I did,
Rob,
too,
so
when
we're
he said
on the
that,
same
I'm
level.
I'm picturing some big, huge
okay,
guy.
Okay, we're going to break now.
Oh.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Inside Florida Racing.